نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate, and scatter from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for me, demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger achieves the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the fire. We continue where we left off earlier today with the khutbah, and we like to phrase the khutbah in other words, with the likes of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. This ayah, as the Sahaba say, as it's been narrated, that this was the last ayah that was revealed to the last Prophet and Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the Qur'an. Meaning there were no more ayah revealed to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after this ayah was revealed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best why He chose this to be the last ayah, and it's ayah 281 from Surah Al-Baqarah, why He chose this to be the last ayah. But we can look at it to be important at least, and all of the ayah are important. And let's reflect on the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the khutbah may be summed up in this one ayah. Allah ta'ala, He says, and fear a day that you will turn back to Allah on that day. And then every soul will be held accountable for what it did, and you will not be wronged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes it clear to us to fear a day that everyone will turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be judged. And to fear Allah, or to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to do what Allah commands and to stay away from what He prohibits. May obey Allah and obey His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Stay away from disobedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam. This is how you prepare for that day where you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you will be judged and no one will be wronged. But we have something that we want to discuss today amongst the many things that we allow to distract us from preparing for that day where we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us to rid ourselves of this problem with the likes of His statement, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ ثُمَّ مَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ. يوم لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا والأمر يومئذ لله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and what will make you realize what is the day of recompense? Then what will make you realize what the day of recompense is? A day where no soul will be able to avail another, and the commandment will be solely for Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran is short, it repeats the ayah twice. What will make you realize what the day of recompense is? What will make us realize that there will be a day where we'll stand before Allah? And on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no soul will be able to avail another soul. No looking out for somebody on that day. No cheating, no helping, no nothing for anyone except your own soul. And the only one who will be in charge on that day will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody will present a case for another person, but everyone's case will be presented by himself, against himself or for himself, whether he likes it or not, as his body parts will speak, and what he did has already been written down, and the affair will be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands. I was trying to remind myself and the believers of that day, and that we should prepare ourselves for that day, and that our preparation is obedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam, and on that day there's going to be no help. So let's take advantage of our lives now in preparation for that day. We have to do a lot of things in our lives, but let's not forget the purpose that we've been created and our responsibility towards our Lord and preparing for that day. One of the things that distracts us, that I hope that these ayat would remove, is sometimes we think that a case well presented will be our defense even though we know we're wrong. And we've dealt with this a lot of times. But as our children and us as adults, we always sometimes let it distract us from the meeting with Allah, that the presentation of a case will save us, because we're in the land of the technicality. You get the best lawyer and you win. It doesn't make a difference whether you're right or wrong. It depends on the presentation of your case and the verdict. None of that's going to take place. It's going to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The affair will be in Allah's hands alone. No one will be wronged. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ Isn't Allah the most just of the judges? It won't be like it is in this world. But we're constantly getting over ourselves, teaching and training our children to get over that we act like a day is not going to come, but we're going to be responsible. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى And no soul shall bear the burden of another soul. We're going to have to handle it ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam, in this hadith that we want to quote, he shows us that the better presentation of a case does not save you from the reality of what you've done and what you have to meet your Lord with, subhanahu wa ta'ala. عن أم سلمة رضي الله عنها عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إنما أنا بشر إنكم تختصمون إلي ولعل بعضكم أن يكون ألحن بحجته من بعض فأقضي له على نحو ما أسمعه فمن قضيت له من حق أخيه شيئا فلا يأخذ فإنما أقطع له قطعة من النار متفق عليه وفي رواية لمسلم عن أم سلمة زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ورضي الله عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سمع جلبة خصم بباب حجرته فخرج إليهم فقال إنما أنا بشر وإنه يأتيني الخصم فلعل بعضهم أن يكون أبلغ من بعض، فأحسب أنه صادق فأقضي له، فمن قضيت له بحق مسلم فإنما هي قطعة من النار فليحملها أو يذرها. أخرجه مسلم. أم سلمة رضي الله عنها, the wife of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, she said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I am nothing but a human being, and indeed you bring your disputes to me, and perhaps some of you have a better presentation of his case than others. So whoever I make a verdict for, it's only based on what I heard. And whoever I give a judgment for in his favor, taking away the right of his brother unjustly, then don't take the verdict I gave. Because indeed I only break off for him the one I gave the verdict in favor of against his brother unjustly, I only break off for him a piece of the hellfire. This is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And the other narration, this is the narration of Imam Muslim rahimahullah on the authority of Salama, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he heard the voices of people arguing at the door of his apartment. So he went out to them and he said, indeed I am only a human being, and indeed one of you will come to me with a dispute, and perhaps some of you have a better presentation than others. So I will think that he is truthful, and I'll make the verdict in his favor. So whoever I have given the verdict in his favor, taking the right of a Muslim, then it is only a piece of the fire. Take it or leave it. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, he says, I am only a human being. The ulama, they explain that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he means from his statement, I am only a human being, meaning just like you. I don't know anything of the affairs of the unseen or that which has taken place without my knowledge. I'm only able to judge amongst humanity with what is apparent, and Allah is the one who will handle that which is secret. So I judge by a person's clarification or explanation or his proof and evidences, or because he swore that such and such had taken place or like that, from the outward verdicts, with the possibility that the reality of the situation is other than what I have judged by. But rather, I have only been responsible to deliver the verdict based upon what is apparent. Here the ulama, they explain from this hadith of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and his statement that I am only a human being, means that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, or whoever after him from the people of knowledge or others who make judgment calls, that their judgment call does not change reality, or their verdict is not reality, but their verdict is based on what seems to be apparent, because no one knows the unseen except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ulama, they give an example from the other hadith of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam judged by what was apparent, but the truth of the matter was opposite to it, but he stated salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi that he could only work with what was apparent. This was the case where they were discussing the ghayra, or the extreme jealousy for his women, of Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu. So they were talking about, suppose you found a man with your wife. They said, you have to bring witnesses. Sa'd said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm going to be real with you. All that witness stuff ain't going to happen with me. I catch somebody with my wife, he finished.
Anyway, as they were discussing this issue, and I'm paraphrasing the hadith, it's in Al-Bukhari and others, the Hilal ibn Umayyah radiallahu anhu, he came and he informed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that one night coming home after Isha, he found a man on top of his wife. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our wives and save us from being tested with what people are tested with. So he told the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam what he saw. And then it became a discussion amongst the people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed the ayah in Surah An-Nur, showing that it's not permissible Islamically for a person to accuse his wife of zina, even if he sees it with his own two eyes, unless there's four people who are witnessing that they saw exactly what he saw. At any rate, the ayah goes to explain that the people are brought together and asked their witness, and then they give their testimony, and then they swear after four times, though on the fifth time, that the curse of Allah is on them if they're lying. So this took place, and the Prophet ﷺ separated them, and they're not allowed to get married to each other again after that. And then the Prophet ﷺ explained that if the child looks like you, then maybe you were mistaken with what you saw, meaning the father, the ex-husband. The child looks like you, maybe you thought you saw somebody, you know you're tired. Sometimes you think you saw something, then you look, and it wasn't it. Everybody has probably taken place in your life at a time you thought you saw what you didn't see. Nah. To any extent. Nah. People in the desert, they see water, but it's no water. You get there, it's nothing. So it takes place. The mind is tricky. At any rate, the Messenger was saying that if the baby looks like you, then maybe it wasn't like you thought it was. You don't have any witnesses to prove it, and maybe you was mistaken. But if the baby comes out looking like whatchamacallem, who you said was on top of your wife, then more than likely it probably was him. The baby came out looking like the man who was accused of being on top of his ex-wife. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, لَوْلَا مَا مَضَى مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ لَكَانَ لِي وَلَهَا شَأْنٌ. The Prophet ﷺ said, if it wasn't what has been revealed in Allah's book, meaning once the people have bore witness and they're separate, it's no more discussion of the issue. It's settled Islamically in light of Allah's book. If it wasn't what had transpired from Allah's book, then it would have been an issue between me and that lady. Because now the Prophet ﷺ, he knows that the verdict that was given is not correct. The verdict that was given is not correct. The verdict that was given did not coincide with reality. It is correct because it is in accordance with Allah's book. But it didn't coincide with reality. So the Prophet ﷺ is showing that we have to judge by what's apparent, but it doesn't change reality at all. And this is what we're trying to establish here in this lecture, that the verdict doesn't change reality. And we think because we're in the land of the technicality, that the presentation of our case and the technicality changes reality. It changes no reality for this sister. Whatever her case is, she has to meet Allah with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw whatever we didn't see or whatever we thought we saw. And Allah doesn't miss anything subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the reality with Allah might be different than the way we see things or the way we judge things. But I'm saying as advice for myself, as we begin to take a look at this hadith, and for the believers, we know what we're about, what we're upon, and what we do. And so does Allah. Every technicality in the world, every beautiful presentation to each other about ourselves doesn't change what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to judge us upon, and that's the reality of ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that some of you may have a better presentation than others. The ulama, they explain, they say that he meant alayhi salatu wasalam that some people are smarter and more clever than others. And because of it, they have the ability to present a better case than the next man, which will allow the verdict to be in their favor, even though they're wrong. This is what was meant by the statement of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And sometimes, oftentimes, this is our case. And I want to keep referring it back to us as individuals, so we can look at ourselves. Somebody tells you, fear Allah. I saw what you were doing. Where your proof? Nah, where your proof? You saw him. You saw, where your proof? Oh, you got that. You don't got that. And you're not over. Because what you did, you're going to meet Allah on. Allah is going to judge you without wronging you on what you die on what you did. And let us stop thinking that our presentation to the next person makes us more righteous than we are. Or that the sins that we commit, Allah will not hold us accountable for them because the people can't prove us wrong. Because you can't prove me wrong doesn't mean I'm right. And we know that ourselves, so let's fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is calling us to in this hadith, letting us know that even him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He does not speak from his own desires, he only speaks from revelation revealed to him. But here even him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the case of judging in the affairs of the people, he judged based on what he heard alayhi salatu wasalam. So he might give the verdict in your favor and you say, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave the verdict in my favor, what you talking about? But the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is letting us know, if I gave the verdict to you in your favor but it wasn't in your favor, it's not in your favor. It's not in your favor. You only take a piece of the fire. Meaning you only enter into the hellfire for the wrong that you did and taking advantage of your brother. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, I only judge based on what I heard. And the ulama, they say, not based on what I know. Because Allah could have informed the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam about whatever took place. That's his messenger, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, the last prophet and messenger to humanity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to him many issues of what had taken place that he didn't know about, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And Allah could have, on any argument, presented to him, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, who was right in that matter. But the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is explaining that I'm judging based on what I hear. As he said, I make my judgment based on what I heard. And it's clarified in the narration of Imam Muslim, and this is why we were bringing the other narration to make the issue clearer, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I think he's speaking the truth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing you why he made his verdict. I'm listening to what's being said, and it sounds like so and so is speaking the truth. So if he's speaking the truth, then I make the verdict in his favor. But the Prophet ﷺ, he clarified that I only break off for him a piece of the fire. Meaning I judge for him based on what was apparent. And because reality was in opposition to what was apparent, he took what was not permissible for him to take, and because of it, it led him to the fire. Two people are arguing. I dropped my wallet in the masjid. You didn't drop your wallet in the masjid. You stole my wallet out of my coat pocket. Man, ittaqillah. They have someone judging. He's listening to the brother. He said he found a wallet. The other brother is saying he stole a wallet. He can't prove. The one who it was in his pocket will say he stole it. He can't prove, he doesn't know how much money is in it. He doesn't have any ID showing that it's him. and he doesn't remember the contents of what's in his wallet. And that might be our case right now. We might not know the contents of what's in our pocket or in our wallet or what have you. So the one who found it, he's describing, I found it here. And if no one came to claim, and the one who presented, who made the presented his case that it was in fact his, but he didn't describe it properly, and he didn't describe its contents and whatever, so they gave the verdict to the one who said he found it. But the one who found it didn't find it. His case was better presented. But in fact, he stole it. So when the imam or whoever made the verdict, that's yours, akhi. When he took it, he took what was haram that he had no right to take. And because he took the haram, it led him to the hellfire. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam here is explaining to us or making it clear to us that reality is not changed by someone's verdict. And oftentimes we think because of the status or the level of the one making the verdict that it can actually change reality. It doesn't change reality. It doesn't change what's in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we need to check ourselves as we've been learning since we've been small, how to present the best case of defense for ourselves while we do wrong, because we've been raised up on what's wrong, and to live a wrong life. Wallahi, people make mockery of the people who are righteous, laugh at them. Wallahi, even amongst ourselves, we discourage ourselves as Muslims from being righteous. But the brother, who he think he is because he be in the first row all the time? The brother is more on his Islam than you, man. Try to get on top of it like he's on top of it. But instead of that, we blame it. We've always been against what's right. And always in support of what's wrong. But in being in support of what's wrong, we have a presentation that makes what's wrong right and okay. But when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is going to judge us for what we are upon. And He's not going to judge us based on the presentation that we presented. And it's amazing this language that the Prophet ﷺ uses in the other narration, as we use the likes of these wordings as a defense for ourselves. The Prophet ﷺ, he says in the other narration, so if you like, take it. Take my verdict, I gave it in your favor. And if you like, leave it. Somebody says, see, if I stole the wallet and they made the judgment in my favor, the Prophet ﷺ said, hey, when the verdict is made, if you like, take it, and if you like, leave it. I took the verdict. Prophet ﷺ gave me the option to take the verdict. But the ulama, they explained that the Messenger ﷺ is not giving you an option. This is a statement of warning. And this is a language that's well understood by everyone. Don't play with yourselves. As the ulama, they say, this is a warning. Don't take it. As the Prophet ﷺ says in the other narration, don't take it. And in this narration he says, take it or leave it. It's a warning. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in other ayah, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Whoever likes, let him believe. And whoever likes, let him disbelieve. Allah doesn't mean it's okay. You like to disbelieve? Alright, that's okay. Allah doesn't mean that. He's warning you. Alright, if you like, believe. If you like, disbelieve. Because I'm going to deal with you accordingly. If you believe, inshallah, you'll be rewarded. If you disbelieve, you'll be punished. And this is the language that we use oftentimes with our children or with each other. Two, you tell somebody, man, you know that ain't yours, take it. You know that ain't yours, take it then. Or you say, somebody say, man, hey, I like that. You say, take it then. You don't mean take it. You mean I'm warning you from trying to take it just because you like it. Everybody knows that language. Don't try to play. And we use every type of word to make a judgment fit in our case. And I'm taking it even a little farther than simply the Prophet ﷺ saying, if I judge in your favor. Sometimes the judgment is not even in our favor, but we take the wording and we play with the wording to make the judgment fit in our favor. And this is done too, but it doesn't change reality and it doesn't change what we have to deal with. Wallahi, oftentimes, many of the people, they come to me with questions. And then you give them an answer, and then they go take that answer to use it in their behalf to take the right against their brother. To take the right against their brother. The brother told me that they didn't want that desk there in the masjid and that they're planning to throw it away. Could I have it? Yes. Can I have it? Yes. They're throwing it away and you want it, take it. The Muslims, we're not spiteful. No, we're going to throw it anyway away and you're not going to benefit from it. Let them take it. But the fact is, no one said that they were going to throw it away. No one said they were going to throw it away. He presented it to me like that was the case. So when he goes to take the desk, what you doing? Abu Muslim said, I could take this. He did? You sure? They asked me. You said he could take the desk? Yeah, I said he could take it. Why I say he could take it? Because I'm under the impression we were throwing it away. So he got that off and he took it. But that verdict, it doesn't change the reality. You stole that desk from the Muslims. And you have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with stealing it. Even though we didn't catch you. Even though we checked back. I had to check back the brother. You asked him? You said he could have it? Yeah. Why not? Hey, if you said he could have it, alright. So sometimes the brothers or the sisters, they do this type of questioning to me. And they think that I'm giving them the right to do what's wrong. I'm not giving you the right to do what's wrong. And the Prophet ﷺ, he made it clear that if I make the judgment in favor of you to take the right of your brother, I'm only breaking off from you a piece of the hellfire. Meaning you take the right that you don't have a right to because I gave the verdict of for that. Then you only take a piece of the hellfire. Maybe you take that thing unjustly and you know better, it'll lead you to the fire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. This is why the ulama, in light of this hadith, they say that the judgment of the person of knowledge does not make the haram permissible, nor does it make the case of wealth that is haram or sacred permissible, or the lives that are sacred permissible, or the private parts that are haram permissible. The verdict of the sheikh does not change any of that. It doesn't change any of that. The verdict, it doesn't change reality. It's just simply mistaken. And if you know, you have to act like you know. If you know, you have to act like you know and not to rely simply on the verdict of the sheikh because it's in your favor, but you have to rely on what you know to be the truth because a verdict doesn't change reality. And if this is the case of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then how much more so for anyone else? Let's not play with ourselves. We have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let's prepare for the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stop being clever and slick with each other and with our own souls, thinking that we're going to get away from dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that we won't be judged with adherence to Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, but we will be. And that's why the ulama, they're explaining in light of this hadith that the verdict of the person of knowledge does not make permissible for the one who he has made the verdict in favor of against his brother. If the truth of the matter is opposite to the verdict of what the sheikh had given, or that the evidences presented in the case of which the sheikh used to make his verdict was false, that he is not making permissible what he has gave the verdict in favor of. Let me try to say it again, inshallah ta'ala. The sheikh, he made a verdict in favor of someone against his brother based on false information that was presented to the sheikh. The verdict of the sheikh does not give the person the right to take the right of his brother, because the sheikh made the verdict in his favor and who is the sheikh and how magnificent the sheikh is. Because there's no sheikh on the level of the last prophet and messenger of humanity, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who made it clear to us in the hadith that I am only a human being, and that indeed you take your judgments to me, and perhaps some of you may have a better presentation than others. So whoever I make a verdict, whoever I make a verdict for, then it's based upon what I heard. So whoever I make a verdict in favor of, taking the right of his brother, then don't take that verdict from me. Because I only break off for him a piece of the hellfire. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he makes it clear to us. And this is the issue that many of us, we get caught in. And I know I see it oftentimes with many of the questions. And people are saying, watch out. It's not on me to watch out, it's on the person who's asking the question and getting the verdict in his favor in opposition to reality. It's on that person to watch out. How are you going to watch out? Who knows the unseen to watch out? Who knows the unseen to watch out? The Messenger said he's only a human being. And he got revelation, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. We're human beings with no revelation. How do we know the unseen? How do we know the intent behind somebody's question? How do we know the evil intent behind somebody's question? How do we know that he's setting us up when he asks us the question? We don't know that. But he knows. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And Allah will judge him on the reality of the situation, not on what was given in his favor. So you brothers and sisters, I want to remind you as well as myself, that as we live our lives trying to be obedient to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, when we fall into error, let's quickly return to Allah in repentance by leaving off what is wrong and by feeling sad that we did it and by being determined not to go back to it again and by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness and His repentance. This is what is upon us if we know we're wrong. Let's not let the presentation of our case, let us persist and continue in doing what's wrong. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with us with reality and not with the presentation of our case. Let you brothers and sisters take a look at what you present to myself or whoever you present your arguments to. Take a look at the arguments that you present. And don't try to get something in your favor against reality, because you only set yourselves up for the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the reality. Don't try to get someone to get a verdict in your favor. It's not in your favor. It's only a piece of the fire, meaning it's only your ticket to the hellfire for taking what you have no right to take. Wallahi, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the day that you're going to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on, and stop using the best presentation to get over. It doesn't change any reality. Wallahi, it doesn't change reality. I don't know how many people I've told. They told me, you said it was okay. I told them, if I told you it was okay 1,000 times, it doesn't change the ayah that doesn't make it okay. Even if I lost my mind, or I forgot, or I was mistaken, or I was dead wrong, if you worked by it and you know you didn't have a right to work by it, you have to meet your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala with that piece of fire that you took. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. We have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oftentimes we know, and it's, we're going to be responsible for what we know. We've heard a lot of knowledge coming out of masjid, walhamdulillah. And we go around fatwa shopping at times, it doesn't change the truth. We go around fatwa shopping, and oftentimes we go to someone and we want him to say what we want so it can be in our favor, but we know we're wrong. I was thinking about divorcing my wife. Don't divorce your wife. I'm not going to divorce her. I was just thinking about it. But when I was thinking about it, my wife overheard me. Yeah, I was thinking about maybe I got to get rid of her. What you talking about? No, and I was just thinking. She thinks that that's a divorce and it counts and it was the third divorce. I didn't intend, nor did I tell her I divorced you. Does that divorce count? No. he told his wife, I divorce you. Now he's going to come present the case. Then he's going to go and say, really? I talked it over with Abu Muslima. We still could be married. We can? Alhamdulillah. Wallahi, what kind of verdict are you taking when you know the reality is different? And you present one case to me and the reality is something else. And people say, you got over on me. You didn't get over on me. I can't know the unseen. I don't know what's in nobody's hearts. I don't know what's in anybody's mind. But you do about yourselves, and you're going to be held accountable for that. And what will make you realize what the day of recompense is? I don't know if we can reflect on these ayat. Wallahi, oftentimes people come to me with this or that. I tell them, no, it's not okay. Call Allah Ta'ala such and such. Call Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam such and such. Then they go, they say, they said it was permissible for us to wear this pretty lavender dress without any jilbab to the masjid for our graduation. That makes it permissible? Wallahi, if we said it was permissible, it's still not permissible. Nah. If we said it was permissible for you to leave your houses, beautifying yourself, sister, if we said that, it's still not permissible. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it prohibited. And the verdict of the sheikh does not make the haram halal or the halal haram. The verdict of the sheikh doesn't change any of that. Don't hold on to the mistake of the sheikh. Don't hold on to the mistake of the imam. Hold on to the truth of Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, because that's what we're going to be raised upon. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to hold us accountable for. We have to sometimes put these distractions to the side. And this is a big distraction for us. And I can mention so many cases, wallahi, that have come to me over the years. It's unbelievable. But I don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And know that we have to stand before Him. And we're going to stand before Him with what is real. And Allah knows what is real. That's what we're going to stand before our Lord on. Let's prepare for that. By being obedient to Allah and obedient to His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's stop acting like Islam is other than obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow the Quran and the Sunnah. Wallahi, you can say you follow the Quran and the Sunnah a million times. It doesn't mean anything in the sight of Allah until you live adherence to the Allah's book and the Sunnah of His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're playing with ourselves. Wallahi, we're playing with ourselves by using our intelligence or this trickery to beat reality. We haven't beat any reality, wallahi. Not with ourselves and not with our presentation. So let's watch ourselves, and let's watch our presentation too, so that we don't have bad relations amongst each other, and that we don't be divided and fighting and hating each other and against one another. Wallahi, this type of trickery, it adds hatred in the hearts of the believers. And we're living it, wallahi. Living it with no ayah and hadith of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't know how many times I've asked brothers and sisters, I said, that's okay? Yes. I don't know anything. You're the imam. I asked you. You said it was okay. I told him, I said it was okay for you to do that? Quote the ayat that I okayed it for you for. I don't know. Quote the hadith that I okayed it with you for. I don't know. Then how did you take it from me? Why did you take it from me with no evidence from Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam? Following your desires and putting it on me, you have to deal with your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody's Lord told him, follow me. Or follow anyone other than, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُرٌ رَحِيمٌ. Say, if you love Allah, follow me. Meaning the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will love you and forgive you of your sins. We don't have no right to say, I follow so and so without any evidence from Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. I don't know how many of you have told me, I okayed such and such, or I stopped you from doing such and such. And I ask you, what ayat I stop you with?
What hadith I stop you with? I don't be talking.
I do.
And if you follow it, you're in trouble. You hear me talking, you follow it, you're in trouble. Who told you follow me? Who told you adhere to what I say? Who told you that the day you stand before your Lord, you're going to be questioned about if you followed what I said or not? What ayah says that? What hadith of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam says that? How is it an excuse for your own soul? How is it an excuse? It's not an excuse. Wallahi, we don't have any excuse if we don't follow the Kitab and the Sunnah. We have no presentation for ourselves when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we don't adhere to the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have no presentation for ourselves. On that day, Allah is in control. And every soul will be held accountable for what it put forth. No presentation on that day. Were you committing zina with sister so-and-so? No, I didn't commit zina. What's your private part going to speak to? It's going to speak on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Your part's going to say, I was there. I walked right over. Your leg's going to say, I walked right over there. And you're going to be looking at your body parts like, yeah, subhanAllah. Why are you amazed when you know you did it in the first place? Why are we amazed? Why? Wallahi, we need to stop fooling ourselves. Because it's for real. The meeting with Allah is for real. And we get distracted with all of these worldly affairs, man, so much so that we keep forgetting we have to stand before Allah with adherence to the Kitab and the Sunnah. And I keep saying before that I used to mention it every talk. Obey Allah, obey His Messenger. Obey Allah, obey His Messenger. Obey Allah, obey His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I thought I mentioned it too much. Then I stopped mentioning it in every single talk, like I used to say, every single khutbah. Every single talk. Obey Allah and obey His Messenger. Follow the Quran and the Sunnah. Adhere to the way of the Kitab and the Sunnah and the way of our Salaf al-Salih. Obey Allah and obey His Messenger and follow the Sahaba. Every single talk. Then I let it off, thinking that we say it too much, and then, yeah, subhanAllah, blind following creeps on the scene. Where people think because something is said, it's a reality, even if the Kitab and the Sunnah is opposition to it. Wallahi, people telling me something, man, get down with this. Look at the Quran right here. Quote the ayat that I should get down with it, and we get down right now. You know what whatchamacallam said. Yes, yeah, subhanAllah al-Azim. Quote the ayah where we're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day when we're going to be held accountable for what we did in this world and nobody will be wrong. Tell me if there we're going to be judged on if we were following so-and-so and so-and-so. If we listen to so-and-so and so-and-so. What verse says that? Why we keep acting like the Quran is not our judge? That we don't have to live our lives by it. Wallahi, let's stop fooling ourselves. Let's continue to remind ourselves of the importance of obedience to Allah and obedience to His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't know all of the Quran or the Sunnah, but it's our way of life. And we live learning it and trying to adhere to it. This is the way of Islam. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and make it easy for us to live our lives in obedience to Him and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah to make it easy for us to prepare for the day where we will meet Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to let us be distracted with our beautiful presentations. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to understand the reality or the real situation of our affairs. And to help us better prepare ourselves for meeting with Him. Ameen. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And I don't know if there were any comments or questions on what has been presented. If so, then we'll take a few minutes before the adhan to deal with that, inshallah. There's no questions, then I'll remind myself and the believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تَوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And fear a day where you will return back to Allah on that day, and every soul will be held accountable for what it did, and no one will be wronged. Let's try to keep the likes of these ayat in front of us so that we could be focused in our lives and living out the goal that we were created for. And Allah's statement, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us or created us for. Let's keep this purpose in front of us in our lives. Let's keep in front of us the likes of the ayat that we quoted earlier in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's statement, فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. And a group will be in Jannah and a group will be in the hellfire. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in authentic hadith have already informed us that the people of Jannah are already known, and the people of the hellfire are already known. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the people of Jannah and save us from the people of the fire. And the believers, they were amazed at the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam when he said that the people of Jannah are known and the people of the hellfire are known. Why should we do anything if it's already been decided? And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he responded, اِعْمَلُوا فَكُلٌّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. I command you to work because it will be easy for everyone to do what he was created for. If you were created for Jannah, then you will do the same thing that everybody is going to Jannah does. If you've been created to go to Jannah, if it's been decreed by Allah that you will be in Jannah, then your deeds will coincide with the deeds of the people who are going to Jannah. And we have the example with the life of our last Prophet and Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is in Jannah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him. And if we do what he did sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah shows his mercy on us, we'll be from the people of Jannah. And the people of the hellfire are known. And if you do what the people who are going to the hellfire do, then you'll be in the hellfire with the people of the fire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the fire. Wallahi, these are realities that we need to keep right in front of us all the time. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. And no soul knows in what land it will die. We don't know. And like we say, man, here we don't know more so probably than some other people. With all of the crime and what's happening, we don't even have to be in a fight to have a stray bullet hit us. And our soul is taken. And no soul will be taken before its time. But we don't know when our time is. So we prepare to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with obedience to Him and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to remind myself and the believers, let's stay focused in our lives. The brother is asking about the last two ayahs of Surah Zalzala. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. And whoever does an atom's weight of good, then he will see it, meaning he will see the reward for it. And whoever does an atom's weight of evil, then he will see the punishment of it. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ. And then the brother was saying, if we do something wrong, then what? Kind of like.
No faith that things you can do this life.
No.
Even though you might have been here before, you still see.
Nobody can speak about the unseen except with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us in His book. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Indeed, the good deeds wipe away bad deeds. Meaning if you did a bad deed, when you do a good deed, you wiped away your bad deed. Now, meaning you're not held accountable for that anymore, because you wipe that one away. Or like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the authentic hadith, اتقوا الله حيثما كنت واتبع سيئات الحسنة تمحوها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن, from the hadith of Tirmidhi. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I command you to fear Allah wherever you are, and to follow up a bad deed with a good deed. The good deed will wipe the bad deed away and treat the people with good character. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he shows the good deed wipes away the bad deed. Wipes away, it's clean from your slate. Or as the Messenger ﷺ says in other authentic hadith, Al-Islamu yajubbu ma qablahu. Islam erases what came before it. And we all remember that. We took our shahada. Everybody is smiling with you. Your slate is clean. Meaning everything you did before now is wiped away. Now you start fresh. If good, good, and if bad, bad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our deeds good and forgive us of our bad deeds. So all of us, if we fall into what's bad, and the brother can correct me if I go too far, if we fall into what's bad, and we do, is that a sign that we will be from the people of the fire? And there's nothing we can do except enter into the fire? If you do bad, it might be that you might be decreed from the people of the hellfire, because that's the life that they live. That's the life that they live. But if you do bad and then you repent, and you do bad and you repent, and you do bad and you repent, أَتَّائِبُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. As the Prophet ﷺ says, the one who repents from the sin is like the one who never committed a sin in the first place. Because once he repents and Allah accepts his repentance, that's over with and done. Now it's what he does in the future. And then the other hadith of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he explains in the long hadith that people will do the deeds of the people of the fire until their hands span from the fire, and what has been decreed for them overtakes them, and then they do the deeds of the people of Jannah, and then they enter into Jannah. And then the opposite to that. And this is similar to the statement of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, the actions are by their last deeds. Meaning what you die upon is what you're going to be raised up upon. And this is an encouragement for us to stay on top of good deeds and not to do bad deeds. And if we ever do a bad deed, we hurry and repent. Or if you do something wrong, astaghfirullah. Because you do something wrong, you die. You died on astaghfirullah. Right? You did something wrong, then you died right after you did it. You died on astaghfirullah, because you seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the wrong that you did. If you're constantly trying to do good and stay on what's good, then you hurry up and die, then you died on what was good, and Allah raised you up on that, inshallah ta'ala. It's not over until we die, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. So until that time comes, we're in a race to do good deeds and staying away from bad deeds. And if we fall into bad deeds, then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and then to move on, inshallah ta'ala. But what I wanted to really emphasize or overemphasize is that oftentimes with us, we keep thinking that our case with Allah is equal to our case with each other. That's what we keep thinking, that Allah is going to deal with us the way the people deal with us. Allah is going to deal with us with the real situation, and the people are going to deal with us the way it appears. Like for example, I think somebody is a bad brother. He's a good brother. I don't know. I think he's bad. He asked to marry my daughter, I turn him down.
Of course I'm going to turn him down. I ain't pleased with him. He has a higher station in Jannah than me and my daughter. Nah. I don't know. All we could do is work on what we see. But sometimes we think what we see is reality. It's not reality. I think because I don't like him, I don't marry my daughter to him, mean I'm better than him. It doesn't mean that. We might say to ourselves, it doesn't mean that, why you don't like him? Because we human beings and we're wrong. And we make mistakes. And we try to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I'm saying that to say for us, let's stop thinking that our case, with the beautiful presentation in opposition to reality, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to judge us on. Because we're slick with our presentations. We're slick. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he even said, you're slick. Some of you are more slicker than others, or more clever than others, or better in his presentation than others. And that part is the part that we know about ourselves. Let's stop. And the brother's question is a good question, because if we know we're wrong, and our beautiful presentation won't benefit us, now what? Now let's repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and change our ways. If we know our beautiful presentation won't benefit us in the sight of Allah, let's leave it alone. The Prophet said, take it or leave it. Let's leave it. Leave that presentation and thinking that we're going to be okay in front of our Lord because people can't beat us in the argument or the debate. And let's prepare to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what we know we're on. May He forgive us. No. Yes. In other authentic hadith of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he explained that if you accept Islam and you do good, that you will be rewarded for the good you did before Islam and the good you did in Islam. Or if you are a kafir and you do good and you die on kufr, there's no reward for you. All your good will be turned into dust particles scattered about. Now, there's no reward for your good deeds if you die on kufr. But if as a kafir you did good deeds, then you accepted Islam and you continue doing good, then you will get rewarded for the good that you did as a kafir and the good that you did as a Muslim. But if you didn't do good as a Muslim, then you won't be rewarded for the good that you did before, but rather you'll be held accountable for the bad that you did then and the bad that you do now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. So if a person is doing wrong and he accepts Islam and then he continues his wrong, like for example many of us, may Allah forgive us, we messing with the girl, then we accept Islam, then we keep messing with the girl. Nah. Alright, when you accepted Islam, the messing with the girl before was forgiven. Now you keep messing with her, the before not forgiven. And you're held accountable for the before and the right now. Or like with the example the brother was giving in the question, you're purchasing a car on the riba, or a house on the riba. Then you accept Islam. Alright, now what? It depends. If you leave off doing the wrong after you accept Islam, all that wrong is wiped away, and whatever good you were doing while you were doing that wrong, you'll be rewarded for that, and then you'll be rewarded for the good that you do in Islam. But if you are doing that wrong by engaging in the riba before Islam, and then after Islam you continue in the riba, then you won't be forgiven for that. But you'll be held accountable for that and for that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us of our sins. So it's important for the Muslim always to be quick to trying to get his sins forgiven. And I remember, or I was just remembering, that my first class here in East Orange, it was called, well, it was named after the hadith of the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, وَخَيْرُ التَّوَّابِ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ, and the best of the sinners are repenters. Now, may Allah make us repent for the sins that we commit. May Allah accept our repentance from us. Now, I don't know of any particular hadith for that or any ayah for that specific case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But that responsibility, when you take your shahada, does not change your responsibility. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And if it does change your responsibility, then there has to be an ayah or hadith that shows that that responsibility is no longer yours. Like in the question, the brother is saying, okay, we had a debt before Islam. When we accept Islam, do we still have that debt? I told him, I don't know of any ayat or hadith that says that if you had a debt before Islam and you accept Islam, then you still have that debt, or you don't have that debt anymore. I said, I don't know of any text. Allah knows best. But I said, what we do know, that if you are relieved of a responsibility that you had when you accepted Islam, then Islam will let you know that you are relieved of your responsibility. And if you don't know of anything that relieves you of your responsibility, then things are as they used to be, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa iyyakum. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Alhamdulillah.